Looking for a fun way to win 25 times your money this football and basketball season? Test your skills on Prize Picks, the most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. Just select two or more players, pick more or less on their projection for a wide variety of stats, and place your entry. It's as easy as that. If you have the skills, you can turn $10 into $250 with just a few taps. Easy gameplay, quick withdrawals, and injury insurance on your picks are what make Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. Ready to test your skills? Join the Prize Picks community of more than 7 million players who have already signed up. Right now, Prize Picks will match your first deposit up to $100. Just visit prizepicks.com/play100 and use code play100. That's code play100 at prizepicks.com/play100 for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, daily fantasy sports made easy.
Why?
If you have T-Mobile 5G home internet, you might be hearing this a lot.
Why?
Every time your internet slows down during the busiest hours.
Why?
Because your network gives priority to cell phone users.
Why?
Good question. Why not switch to Cox internet with 2x faster download speeds than T-Mobile 5G home internet during peak hours?
Okay.
Stop the whys and visit cox.com/5G home for details. T-Mobile prioritizes certain T-Mobile phone users over home internet users during times of congestion.
It is SNY.TV's The Juice on the Cuse podcast, covering Syracuse basketball, lacrosse, and football.
Today on The Juice on the Cuse podcast on SNY.TV, we'll be talking about Syracuse basketball's big win over Boston College and the emergence of two key freshmen. I'm Wes Chang, and I'll be joined later by Brad Bierman, and our guest today is 2003 national champion and the Juice Online senior college basketball analyst, Andrew Cowie. Andrew, how are you today?
I'm doing great, man. How about yourself?
I'm doing great, Andrew, and I want to get you started on this one. Each year you tell me, hey, Wes, give me 3 to 5 games to tell you what I think of this team, and lo and behold, here we are. So I ask you this, what do you think of this team?
You know, it's interesting. I think the Rutgers game tells a little bit more about the team than maybe the BC game, but I kind of like where they're at. I think they're at a place where, you know, you look at the team now, and when you see them again in February and March, I think they're going to be just a much better team, much more understanding of each other. They're just at a stage where Griffin's got to learn more about how Buddy plays on the zone and defense and offense, and there's so many more learning that they'll get better with time because they're going to learn from each other. I think we know what each player kind of, you know, their best attributes are, but it's more about learning to play together. And, you know, given this unique year, you know, they probably don't get that opportunity early on in the season because of preseason and practice. And so, you know, you're going to see games where each game is probably just going to be a helpful improvement in terms of how to play together, both defensively and offensively.
Andrew, Jim Boeheim rarely plays freshmen, but it looks like right now Woody Newton and Kaderi Richmond are going to play significant and meaningful minutes this season.
Yeah, it looks like 100%, probably because they have to because of just the, you know, you need rest players. But I think I really like Richmond. I think he showed in the Rutgers game in terms of he's always got his head up. He's always looking for the pass or looking for that movement from a player. He seems composed. He doesn't seem overwhelmed. Obviously, he's not a great shooter yet. And, you know, his body will probably still need to be improved in terms of getting ready for college basketball and so forth. But he's a freshman. And as I was saying earlier, he's going to be better in February than he is now in December. And so, and the same thing with Newton. You heard Boeheim after the BC game talk about how he picks up things really quick. He's not scared. And that's a big thing for Boeheim. You know, don't play scared. Just play. Use your talent and let the best come from it. So I think those are two great freshmen that are showing great signs now, but will show even better signs come February and March.
Joe Girard played his best game of the season with 17 points, 5 rebounds, and 5 assists. He's really struggled to start the year, especially in that loss to Rutgers, not just offensively, but on defense. Was there genuine cause for concern, or were we looking at too small of a sample size?
Yeah, see, I was never worried about Girard because, to me, he is just a pure hooper, as we call him, just a basketball player, right? He doesn't overwhelm you with unbelievable athleticism, you know, in terms of super great speed or super great jumping ability. He just can just play. Like, just get him on the court and can play. And to me, watching him play, it was more of just a confidence level. He was just out of rhythm, forcing it. I think there was a play in the Rutgers game where he did a move and went behind the back to get separation, and he lost the ball and didn't fight for it, you know, get it back. He was just like, almost looked like in disbelief, like, I can't believe I lost that. Like, I can do that move 100 times and might lose it once out of 100. And that's just the confidence thing. And I think just the BC game was a game you needed just to get back in the flow, get shots, to see the ball go in the hoop. And so, to me, I was never worried. I knew eventually it'd come around because that's what he is. He's just—he's not someone like he needs to be in the gym another extra hour to shoot shots or work. Like, he just has to get that mental and familiarity with the game to get back to normal. So I was never too worried about it, but it's always good to see kind of get that pickup game back against Boston College.
Andrew, I really liked what I've seen from Alan Griffin so far. He's SU's leading scorer at 18.4 points per game, and he's filled in nicely for Elijah Hughes. I know he's still got a lot to learn on the defensive end, but you have to like what you've seen from him so far.
100%. You know, he's a scorer. He's someone that can, you know, get his own shot. And so I think that's someone that we're going to need, you know, for those last 5 minutes of games. You know, I always talk about who's that guy who can step up in terms of you know, can create his own shot when we really need a basket, and he has that capability. So I think also, as you said, on the defense, you know, that's something that he's going to have to learn because the zone is so different. I think you see the same thing with Richmond, like watching him play defense in the zone, like sometimes his arms are down or he's watching the ball move instead of moving. And that's just coming into a new way of playing zone. When you're in high school, you're always looking at zone as something where you're kind of like where you catch your breath or you relax. But with Boeheim, it's a totally different type of zone. It's a very active, it's a very react, you know, you have to anticipate and just a high basketball IQ. And I think he's just got to, both Griffin and Richmond will just have to learn those things. And again, more time, more playing. And you're going to have those ups and downs where they forget to close out on a guy because they're just watching the ball because they're not used to playing this type of zone. But, you know, I'm more excited about, you know, what this team can accomplish once they get into February, March. But it's going to be some tough games. I think it's really going to come down to those games that, the last TV timeout, right, that under 4 minute TV timeout is, you know, if you're up five or down five, how does that finish? You know, do you hold the lead and get the win? And if you're down five, are you able to come back and steal victory? And those little, you know, those small windows and small details are going to determine, you know, if we're playing in, you know, March Madness or not.
And speaking of impressive players, let's talk a little Quincy Gurrier, because he's been a completely different player than he was from his freshman year. It looks like he's over that lower body injury because he's averaging 16.2 points and 8.6 rebounds and really understanding how to use that 220-pound frame.
Yeah, absolutely. He's active. You know, to me, even his shot looks better, you know, looks better in terms of a little bit more fluid. But as you said, another year, you're comfortable. You know, going into the year, you know what you can bring to the team. You know how the zone works. You know Boeheim, and that second year is such a I think you're just going to the season more comfortable of your role and how, you know, how what the physicality is of college basketball and the daily grind of it. So, you know, it's always great to see that type of improvement. Some players, you know, don't improve, and they, maybe because they get lazier this summer or it's a mental thing, but, you know, that's what you want to see from being a freshman to a sophomore and then hopefully sophomore to junior. So he, you know, you kind of almost don't worry about him too much because you kind of know what you're going to get from him. Active, rebounding, just always being around the ball hawk. And so when you get, you know, a 25 or, you know, 20, 25 point game from him, you know, that's just added bonus, because you just know he's the type of guy who's always going to bring that energy and that's key. You want guys like that.
Andrew, how do you see this rotation playing out when Barama Sidibe returns? When he comes back, Syracuse is going to run eight deep, and it's hard to see Jim Boeheim either having Alan Griffin or Quincy Gurrier coming off the bench, given how well they played. I just think Boeheim's going to have some interesting decisions about who will play and who will start.
Yeah, it will be interesting when he comes back. And a little bit is, you know, when he comes back, does he really start? Like, how game ready is he and game shape ready? It's really going to, I think, Boeheim, it's all going to be kind of what does he want more in terms of how the game is flowing? Like, do we need more offense where we're going to have to go smaller and have Dolezal in the middle and keep Griffin and Buddy and Quincy on the floor? Or are we just getting dominated on the boards down low and we need a bigger, and you almost put Griffin at the two and maybe Buddy's not playing as much because you want more defense and more rebounding all over the place? So I think it's just going to be the type of game and opponent in terms of what do we need from the team, because you have trade-offs everywhere in terms of, you know, if you go more offensive and keep Doja in the middle and having Quincy and Griffin, then you know you're gonna give up some rebounds because, one, you know, Griffin is still an offensive player playing, you know, on defense down low and having to, you know, be bigger on the boards. I think that's what makes like my year when we had Melo and Hakeem, what made them so unique, and especially Melo, is that yes, he was an unbelievable scorer and pure offensive player, but he's also just a beast on the boards and just grabbing rebounds. And same thing with Hakeem, where you have 6'9" with that length. You didn't give up. You had the best of both worlds. You had two guys who are great in terms of rebounding and defense wise, but also unbelievable scores. It's hard to find those type of combinations. So Boeheim is just going to have to kind of just figure out the flow of the game and in game, you know, where do you got to make the adjustments, and that's where it'll come from.
And Andrew, we'll get you out of here on this one. Now that you've been able to see the team for a few games and make an assessment, how do you project Syracuse doing this year? Are they a bubble team, or are they a team that can make a run in the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, I do think it's one of those teams where we're going to be every game. It's going to be a nail biter to the end in terms of March Madness, right? In terms of are we going to sneak in? I just don't see a team as like a 3 seed going there. I think it's again one of those, and they could surprise me on the upside, but I think it's going to be somewhat of a bubble team. But I do think we're going to be better. Really better in February and March, and that you're kind of getting into that in their pure form at the right time, and you could see a really good run if they make it into March Madness, no matter what seed you are. I don't think there's any real dominance or a plethora of dominant teams, so you could be a 12 seed and probably win the national championship. So it's just a matter of getting in. And I think, I think the way that they're all going to improve together, playing together, that I think they could be kind of a fun team to get going in March. So I think it's like I said earlier, those games that we're all watching and we're up by 5 points with 3.5 minutes to go. Well, what do we do? Are we strong enough to hold on to that lead, or do we kind of give it away? Those are the type of games that are going to come back to haunt us if we don't hold on to those wins, or vice versa, if we don't come back from down three with 3.5 minutes to play. So I think we're going to be watching every single game, hoping we get the W, because I think it should be probably a close call in terms of getting it.
Andrew, thanks again for coming on the program. Again, former Syracuse guard and the Juice Online senior college basketball analyst, Andrew Cowie. Andrew, great stuff as always. Appreciate the time, and we'll speak with you soon.
All right. Thanks, Wes. Have a good one, man.
Always great speaking with Andrew, and I'm now joined over the phone by the Juice Online editor-in-chief and my very good friend, Brad Bierman. Brad, how are you today?
I am doing well, Wes. Thank you.
Brad, Syracuse with a 101-63 win over Boston College on Saturday. It's rare to see a college team score over 100 points, but the Orange was just unstoppable from the opening tip against the Eagles. They really had it going on Saturday.
They certainly did, Wes. And can we package that in a box and serve it every game? I mean, boy, what a joy it is to watch when everything is clicking. And I think for Syracuse teams, we've talked about it before, it's always going to start with the defensive end. We know there's plenty of offensive firepower on this team when Alan Griffin had transferred over from Illinois and the great shooting backcourt of Joe Girard and Buddy Boeheim. And boy, what an important part Buddy Boeheim is, not only to what he brings to the team offensively and his shooting from the outside and how he's improved into his third year with the program, but how also he brings out the best in Joe Girard and his other teammates on the court. So the offense for Syracuse, I think, is going to continue to flourish as the season goes on. The ball movement has, in the Boston College game and the other wins earlier, has been really something that stands out in getting good shots, good looks at the basket. And I think that the inside play, once Barama Sidibe comes back to join Merrick Dolezal and the really rapidly improving Quincy Guerrier, is going to produce offensive production inside as well. Then it comes again down to the defense. Can the zone defense force the opposition into taking hurried looks, bad looks from the outside, and really controlling play on the inside from a defensive standpoint, boxing out, getting the rebounds on the offensive glass? And I think that, you know, as the season goes on, as it has been hard for all teams with limited practice times and the unusual up-and-down nature of games being canceled and new games being scheduled, that, you know, this, the learning process is exactly what Professor Boeheim likes to do as the season progresses, especially in December. The fact, though, this was the first conference game is that much more appealing to Syracuse fans as the season does progress.
Brad, Syracuse adding a tune-up game against Northeastern on Wednesday. They also have a Saturday game against Buffalo and then two ACC games before the end of 2020 against Notre Dame and Wake Forest. What are you looking for as we close out the calendar year?
One of the most intriguing thoughts I've had about the lineup is this, Wes. When Barama Sidibe is healthy and he's eligible to come back and, you know, compete on the court, what's going to be the starting lineup? Because how do you take Alan Griffin and or Quincy Guerrier out of the lineup? I don't think you can do that. I think the starting lineup that was in the game against Boston College is the starting lineup that we should see moving forward, with Barama Sidibe coming off the bench as opposed to Alan Griffin or Quincy Guerrier. Because as I mentioned earlier, Guerrier's improvement from his freshman year has been outstanding. He's so much stronger. He's doing so many more things at both ends of the court. And then Alan Griffin, all he's done has been the leading scorer so far for Syracuse. So that's really intriguing to me, what Jim Boeheim is going to decide from a starting lineup standpoint. And as I think as the roster shakes out right now, what do we usually see with a Jim Boeheim coach team? 7 to 8 players, and we pretty much have an 8-player lineup set with the starters I mentioned, Sidibe coming back, and then freshman Kaderi Richmond and Woody Newton. That's going to be the 8 that really plays the most minutes going through the rest of the season for the Orange. I really do like the fact that there are ACC games early in the schedule in December, because not only is it a chance to get higher up in the ACC standings, but you're playing a mix of quality opponents in addition to the traditional smaller schools in the non-scheduled portion of the season. I think it's great that Syracuse was able to add Northeastern on Monday as a game in the Carrier Dome on Wednesday afternoon. Really important to have another tune-up, then along with Buffalo this coming weekend, before they get into, again, as you mentioned, a couple of ACC games heading into the first of the year and that big one January 2nd on the road against North Carolina. So, again, I'm really intrigued what that starting lineup, when Barama Sidibe comes back, if it will remain intact as it did against BC, or if Jim Boeheim will make any changes.
And Brad, we are right at the end of our show. Your closing thoughts?
Well, we've been talking basketball, but let's not forget the football. Early signing recruiting period is coming up this week. A key milestone in Dino Babers, the end of his 5th season, going into his 6th. They got a lot of great verbal recruits from top players during the summer and the fall. And let's see how that materializes here in the early signing period, what kind of a salesmanship Babers and his staff have done to improve the talent level for Syracuse to make a run at competing in the ACC next year for a bowl game. And I'm really intrigued to see how recruiting shakes out early on.
Brad, my closing thoughts are on Orange in the NBA as we are in the thick of the preseason. Carmelo Anthony, Jeremy Grant, Michael Carter-Williams, O'Shea Brissett, and of course the recently drafted Elijah Hughes, all representing the Orange. It's always great to follow Syracuse alumni in the NBA, and here's wishing those 5 guys great seasons ahead. That's it for us. For Brad Bierman, this is Wes Chang reminding you that I want a landline that is a camera phone. You've been listening to the Juice on the Cuse podcast on SNY.TV, and we'll see you next time.
This has been the Juice on the Cuse podcast, part of the SNY.TV audio network.